The Healthy Insights podcast features conversations with the leading minds in the field of health and well-being. Our hope is for you to gain insights, learn something new, and discover some valuable takeaways from our fascinating group of guests. Host Jim Narum is a respected leader with over 30 years of experience in the employee health and well-being field. The Healthy Insights podcast is brought to you by Asset Health, a comprehensive health and well-being services and technology provider. Asset Health's approach is based on actively cultivating the idea that your health is your most valuable asset.
Hi, everyone. This is Jim Narum, your host of the Healthy Insights podcast. This episode's guest is Kiyoko Crawford, the Chief Executive Officer of SkinIO. Kiyoko received her bachelor's degree in biomedical engineering from Harvard University. Kiyoko self-describes herself as a California transplant in Chicago by way of New York City. When she was very young, she dreamed of becoming a triple combination of a ballerina, doctor, and violinist, but didn't become any of these. Instead, she became a digital health entrepreneur and CEO of SkinIO. The SkinIO solution uses the cameras on our smartphones to digitally catalog and track our skin and thus detect skin cancer early. In our conversation, Kiyoko shares some startling facts about the prevalence of skin cancer in the U.S., the shortage of dermatologists, and how SkinIO helps solve the needs of companies, individuals, and healthcare providers. Kiyoko also shares her insights on being an entrepreneur. It's hard, but also very gratifying. She also shares how she juggles the demands of her personal and work life and what it's being done to build a positive team culture at SkinIO. You also don't want to miss our conversation about Kiyoko's Instagram famous dog who does wine reviews. Kiyoko, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being a guest.
Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So I'll go back to your undergraduate degree. That was a long time ago. So you went to Harvard for your undergraduate degree, majored in biomedical engineering, which is really where my understanding is that you got your exposure to the possibilities in the biotech space and as well as being an entrepreneur.
Yes, that is true. And well, it is one thing to go to a liberal arts school and major in biomedical engineering. and so it may come as no surprise that I was one of seven who did that in our entire class. But it was also, I had an excellent advisor from who I had met even, previous to my freshman year, who actually incidentally, sharing how small the world is, ended up serving as the advisor during his dissertation, I believe, for his PhD for our head of data science many years later.
Awesome.
And that's so awesome. It was an interesting opportunity. It was a burgeoning major at Harvard. We had our president was Larry Summers at the time, and one of his big initiatives was to develop the biomedical engineering and applied sciences side of Harvard and, bring in more biotech. Boston and Cambridge were already starting to, or were already pretty well established with industry in that space. And so it was an interesting time to be part of that experience at Harvard. And, I had a very small cohort, which gave me a lot of freedom and personalized attention. And then on top of that, we had the benefit of, Harvard Business School. And so that's where I got to take entrepreneurship classes that overlap between the two. And so that's really what started my interest in entrepreneurship, into starting up something new. And at the time, of course, it was also biotech. What are the possibilities there to, affect change for human lives?
Yeah. And my understanding, so what goes into, you really, obviously, as an entrepreneur, you have a passion to start a product company that you could own from ideation to fruition. Talk a little bit about that, because it's, you know, as opposed to going to work for someone else, which, you know, you did for a little bit.
Yeah. So, well, I have been pretty entrepreneurial from the start. Prior to starting Skin.io, I actually had started up a boutique technology consultancy in New York. And that understandably is a very different model, right? Where we didn't have to raise any capital to do this. We were trading on our own qualifications. My co-founder was a, you know, computer science major at MIT. And so the two of us would respond to RFPs, and that's how we would get business. And there are certain benefits to that model where, again, you don't have to raise capital. You're able to eat what you kill, you know, and build up your business that way. And you also get exposure to just a entire diversity of clients. And so we were serving everybody from Fortune 1000 companies to early stage startups. And so you really get a breadth of kind of what's out there, from industry verticals to products to solutions that they all need. But the flip side of that is you're kind of in and then you're out, right? You get a contract to build something, and once that's done, you kind of hand it off, and you know, maybe you upsell here and there, but it's a very constrained relationship. And so, you know, that's what really kindled my desire, especially as in the later years, I was starting to work with more early stage entrepreneurs who had their grand ideas, many of which didn't work and didn't come to fruition, and where, you know, our company would serve as the de facto CTO and build these MVP products. And that sparked for me kind of the desire to be like, well, I want to start something from start to finish. I want to, you know, create something that I could bring to market. And that really was, you know, when I started thinking, yeah, this is what I want to try my hand at this. And of course, I had to choose one of the hardest industries to do that in, which is healthcare. So I probably, you know,
if it's not hard, why bother?
Exactly. Exactly. If it's not hard, why is it even worth doing? And so, of course, I was just like, well, why don't I do this in the hardest industry of all and be an entrepreneur in it? But no regrets so far that, you know, for this journey.
Okay. So I'm interested in hearing your story of how you applied your educational background and your desire to be an entrepreneur to start your company. My understanding is that 8 years ago, a Chicago dermatologist and skin cancer surgeon named Dr. J.C. LaPierre saved your father-in-law's life from melanoma. And as a result of that experience, you had the idea to form Skin.io. Tell us more.
What I would say is that, and one of the critical things I would highlight is that Dr. LaPierre is a clinician, and this comes from a place of actual clinical experience. And so Skin.io, you know, he had kind of the kernel of the idea here. And it was one that I was able to kind of adopt into my own as well.
So you had the idea to use cameras on smartphones to digitally catalog and track and detect skin cancer early. So do I have that right? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Dr. LaPierre is a dermatologist, skin cancer surgeon, and he has a very well-regarded, you know, in some ways unique dermatology practice where he only sees skin cancer patients, high-risk skin cancer patients, or predominantly sees that group. And so, you know, over the last 20 years, he's had the somewhat unenviable job of of educating these patients and trying to get through to them about the importance of tracking their skin. But educating patients is hard. You know, he's he has them in his office, he's treating them and he's providing the best care. But once they leave the office, kind of whatever he tells them, it's kind of in one ear, out the other. And so his idea was, there's got to be a way, or I'd love a way, as a clinician responsible for these patients, to be able to have them track their skin on their own, because it's all about tracking anything new or changed. And you can only, you know, there's only so much time, there's only so much of me to go around. I see thousands of patients a year. I need to equip them to do so. So when the iPhone 6S or 6 came out with an 8-megapixel camera, and then subsequently, you know, upgraded to a 12-megapixel camera, you now have a commodity device that everybody already owns, that everybody's somewhat socially, you know, pressured to upgrade every year. So it only keeps getting better every year. That is of good enough quality. You know, the camera is high quality enough with enough pixel resolution to be able to capture high fidelity photos of skin and be able to catalog them over time. And so now, instead of listening to Dr. LaPierre tell you all these things about your skin and trying to remember which spots on your skin that you should be tracking and checking, you know, in the mirror every month, you can now just pick up your phone and do that. And so that really was the kernel of an idea that for SkinIO, that formed the basis for why we built SkinIO the way we did. And, you know, now it really has blossomed into this idea that this, or into this platform that allows anybody anywhere to be able to leverage this technology to create kind of this living record of their skin.
Yeah, that's great. So tell, talk a little bit about the, you know, some skin cancer facts and statistics that kind of highlight the need for what your company is solving for that, you know, listeners may or may not be aware of.
Yeah, and it is interesting, you know, our skin is our most externally accessible, largest organ in our body, right? It's the one that protects us from the elements day in and day out. But in a lot of ways, it's completely invisible to us. You know, we do MRIs, CAT scans, all these things to see internally in our bodies. But our most visible organ, somehow we don't even pay it any attention. And so I imagine that a lot of people are not necessarily aware that skin cancer is the most prevalent form of cancer in this country. It's more prevalent than all the top five cancers combined, breast, lung, prostate, yeah. All that. And it is so prevalent, you know, where statistically 1 in 5 of us will develop skin cancer by the age of 70. Which is a huge number, right? You're talking 20% of the population. And it's also a cumulative disease, right? At the end of the day, skin cancer isn't about your week in Cancun last month. It's about all your days on the beach or 20 years ago without sunscreen. It's about, you know, it's about all of those activities that happen that accumulate over time. And so as a result, you know, we are just, the rates are naturally going to increase because we're living longer. We just have that cumulative exposure that keeps growing. And as we have an aging population, those rates, you know, will just naturally be reflected in the population. And so, you know, one of the things that amazes a lot of people is how prevalent it is. It is the most common cancer out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that, that I always find interesting too, is are there places, you know, there's some areas of the country that have dermatologists that are readily available. There's enough of them. But are there places in the U.S. where there's really a shortage of dermatologists, you know, kind of dermatology deserts, so to speak?
Yes. And another shocking fact that most people do not realize, and I think, you know, some of the more educated or just informed from a healthcare perspective, listeners may already know, you know, there's a huge physician shortage to begin with. When you talk dermatology, now you're talking just mind-boggling shortages, because, you know, for our country today, there are fewer than 10,000 dermatologists in this entire country.
Wow.
For over 330 million people. So, you know, it may be past the point of dermatology deserts, because, you know, with dermatology, it is a niche specialty. It's one that is a pretty favorable, from a provider perspective, favorable lifestyle specialty. And so as a result, they have kind of the latitude to practice wherever. And so geographically, that tends to mean that they are concentrated. You know, dermatologists tend to concentrate around metropolitan areas, the coast, Sun Belt, et cetera. So that leaves huge, huge areas of this country uncovered. And so you have situations where there isn't a dermatologist within driving distance. You know, there may not even be any right now in Alaska. You know, you have to fly to go see one. And that is a severe issue, especially when you juxtapose that with rising skin cancer rates, right? And an aging population where the incidence is higher. And so you have a very pronounced supply and demand issue.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that's always impressed me about your company and your solution as a piece of the solution towards you know, meeting that need and the lack of dermatologists. And what about screening rates for skin cancer? Is that something that, you know, that people kind of get and understand that they, you know, it's important for them to do, or do they just not get it?
You know, it is one of the headwinds for us. And a big one is just lack of awareness. And, you know, again, to my earlier point, that somehow our most visible organ is just somehow overlooked by us. And, you know, recently the American Academy of Dermatology had come out with a poll that a third of Americans don't know anything about their skin health, right? You know, and so just that general lack of awareness is a headwind, and especially when it's so important to do. And with a, you know, with our solution at SkinIO, we've really taken great lengths to make it easy to do so. Realistically, everybody should be checking their skin at least once a year. Of course, if you are a skin cancer survivor, you're a melanoma survivor, you know, you will be seeing a dermatologist at least every 6 months. But for the vast majority of Americans, you know, it behooves you to check your skin once a year. But when you check your skin, you need to be looking for anything new or anything changed, right? And that's something that as humans, we're pretty ill-equipped to do. You know, our visual memory is just naturally stunted. We're heavily biased by things we think are weird and that, you know, that are not objectively new or changed. And so this is where we need additional aids or some sort of record that we can consult to be able to monitor our skin from home or on our own.
Yep. I agree with that. So, from a SkinIO standpoint, do you have a client success story that you're particularly proud of that, and you can either use the client name or not. You know, I get that, but you know, and if you have one, if you could kind of describe what the client need was and then, how you went about, solving, their need.
Yeah, no, of course. And this will be one that's familiar to you, and I can throw in another one shortly thereafter. But one of our big client successes is, you know, a marquee client of ours, which is an airline, a major international airline. And airlines, I didn't know this going into this, but it makes a lot of sense. Airlines happen to be occupationally high risk for skin cancer as an industry. Their employee, you know, base constitutes a lot of different types of employees who are exposed at different levels. And there are some lifestyle choices sprinkled in there too that elevate their risk profile for skin cancer. And so as a result, you know, this airline was actively looking for a skin cancer screening prevention, you know, detection program. And so, you know, we were able to provide that. We were kind of the only ones out there providing this type of service where we could stand this up quickly. You know, we could provide staff to go on site at an airport to where these employees work to provide the screening service, and using just, you know, nurses and iPads and hotspots, right? And so nothing crazy. We could stand up these privacy booths in a conference room outside a terminal or even a maintenance hangar and perform these screenings. And so we had, you know, a few hundred screening participants go through the program over the course of a few days here. And what was especially impactful, and again, knowing that this is a high risk group that we were dealing with, we were, you know, we found, you know, a couple dozen basal cell and squamous cell carcinomas among, and so those are two of the major types of skin cancer, as well as two potential cases of melanoma. That's the fatal, deadly skin cancer. And what was even more meaningful for this airline was that, you know, those two individuals who we found that might have those melanomas, they had never seen a dermatologist. They had no plans to see a dermatologist, but they had something that, had they not gone through the screening, could have proved to be quite catastrophic, right? And you know, costly for that airline as well. And so this really speaks to the power of and impact of screening. But you can only do that if you can do it easily at scale and really meet people where they are. You know, just a few weeks ago, we did a screening at the local, you know, Teamsters here, and it was only a few hours, and we got, out of 50 people, we found a potential melanoma there as well, in a population that wasn't expecting, you know, anything there. But because we were able to meet them where they are, we were able to affect those outcomes. So that has been an especially meaningful reason to really put this out there.
Yeah. And has the pandemic impacted the evolution of your company's product and services? You know, were there any pivots that you needed to make fairly quickly?
Yeah, no, I think the pandemic has caused everybody no shortage of pivots and changes and rethinking of everything. As it happens for us, you know, it, in a lot of ways, we're fortunate to be aligned with what the pandemic has further accelerated, right? This move towards virtual care and this move towards even just flexibility, right? We're working from home, we're doing hybrid models, people are kind of rethinking where they live, where they work, where they access healthcare. And we've been fortunate at SkinIO in having this platform that can be done in any of those configurations. And so with the pandemic, we've really been investing in, you know, innovating around that. How do we expand and optimize the flexibility of our platform, which provides this very unique service, which is this full body skin imaging, you know, being able to detect skin cancer early, but doing so in 10 minutes or less. You can do this at home. You can do this on, you know, in an airport. You can do this like a retail setting. And so that has been pivotal for us, because pre-pandemic, you know, one of our big markets, which continues to be one today, is the clinical market, you know, partnering sure. directly with dermatologists and primary care physicians being implemented in their practices. But with the pandemic, a lot of those dermatology practices closed, right? Or they had to temporarily close. And so now it already spurred this movement towards, I don't have to, you know, get a skin exam or access my healthcare within the four walls of a doctor's office. I can do this on my own time, on my own turf, you know, at home. And so that has been huge for us.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, that that's probably more comfortable for them if you're doing full body scans, if they have the ability to do that and use a technology that helps kind of, you know, give some guidance on on how to track over time as well.
Yeah.
So as the leader of SkinIO, how have you gone about, and being an entrepreneur, how have you gone about building a positive culture at SkinIO that supports your employee health and well-being and teamwork as well?
Yeah, so that's a good one. You know, I think one of the things that I pride myself on at SkinIO, one of the greatest accomplishments is truly the team I've built, or the team we've built, I should say. And, you know, because it's all been a collaborative effort. And this extends to team members past and present. And I've always had a very empathetic approach. I think a lot of this also is, you know, spurred by the pandemic as well. When I talk about how we've really emphasized SkinIO's flexibility and our ability to meet people where they are, and oftentimes that's at home, but other times it can be somewhere else, right? And that's a huge, you know, the flexibility is huge because we're living in uncertain times. We're again, there's a lot of upheaval, a lot of uncertainty around where, you know, all aspects of our lives. And so being able to bend and not break in that and be able to meet people there, it has been a huge value driver for us. And that extends to our team as well. You know, we are now distributed. We have team members all over the country, and we've been especially productive, you know, despite like conducting most of our meetings with our faces on grids and all of that. We've been especially productive. We've been connected, and there's been this overall value to saying we're a team. You may live in Portland, you may live in New Orleans, I'm in Chicago, but you know, you get to do this where you are. We're meeting you where you are. And it helps that, you know, I tend to have a somewhat humor-driven, informal style that seems to put people at ease. But really it is that, look, it helps to have a noble mission. You know, the reason we're doing this is because catching skin cancer early saves lives. It happens to save costs for the system as a large, you know, as a whole as well. But it's a noble mission. This is something that it's heavily underserved, right? You just mentioned, you know, there aren't enough dermatologists. Like, that is a real thing. And so we're able to leverage technology meaningfully to help solve that problem. You know, it's one that's easy to recruit around, and it's I should say it's easy to recruit the right people around, because absolutely. This is about something more than you know, top line revenue and all of these things. It's about actually moving healthcare forward, impacting lives, you know, and so because of that, I've been able to assemble just wonderful people, like truly, genuinely good people. They make the culture, right? We all make the culture.
We all do.
And I'm not going to lie, the journey's hard. it's not all roses and rainbows. It's hard. And there are days when, you know, and there are days when I'm just wallowing in the pits of despair. And then there are other days when, you know, we're on the highs of, you know, little victories here and there and all the triumphs associated, but it's everything in between, right? And when you have people who are good, who genuinely care and are trying to make this change, we don't have skin cancer screening right now at scale in this country. We're trying to do that right now. And right, having these people do that, that creates a culture. That creates, you know, this attitude that we're, you know, there may be some hardships, things don't always turn out the way you want them to, but we have our vision and we're going to work towards it.
Yeah.
And it helps that people can work from home and, you know, like do their laundry, do all the things they need to do and still come together around the work we have to do.
Yeah. That's outstanding. So switching gears a little bit, let's talk a little bit about how you balance your family life with your entrepreneurial life, or is there ever really a balance? You know, I honestly, I don't know how you do it all.
Well, the short answer is there are sacrifices made everywhere, right? Whoever says they can do it all is lying, or they're just a far more efficient superhuman than me. You know, the real answer is that I owe a lot of this to a extremely supportive husband who takes on the heavy lifting of driving the kids to school, you know, driving them to soccer practice, doing all these things. And it is interesting because family is such an important part of who we are, right? It makes us. But, you know, also running a startup and being in a startup, you know, that's trying to launch something new and affect change is all consuming as well. Right. And
yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. And you feel all the blows, you feel all the triumphs, and you feel them all, you know, so acutely. And we're living in a pandemic when you're working from home, and that barrier between work and home no longer exists, right? It just literally doesn't exist. And so all of those have, I'm not gonna lie, it's been a struggle because, you know, you're now on top of trying to make sure your kids are growing and emerging into, you know, the full humans and functional humans that they are. On top of that, you have to worry about their safety. They're going to school. They're doing all these things. And I, you know, I'm not able to necessarily always leave work and compartmentalize as I used to before. And so, you know, I've tried to be conscious about it. I've failed miserably so many times. What I console myself with is that on the flip side, you know, I am hopefully being able to demonstrate to my children that, you know, I'm a mom who's also working, who's trying to do something, you know, that's separate from the family. I'm modeling that behavior as well. But it's hard. And what I will say is I could not do this without a spouse who is willing to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, there's the work team with the colleagues that you're building, and then there's the home team, and there's the collective team where, you know, that's part of building a culture where everybody gets that, you know, there is home life and work life, and sometimes they merge, and sometimes it's smooth, and other times it's messy and hard, and but it kind of goes back to the industry that you picked, which is hard and it's worth doing too.
Let's do all the hard things all at once, right?
And exactly.
But you know, it is nice now also as we're doing remote work and we have Zoom meetings and all kinds of stuff where, in a way, when you see like your team members' kids photo bombing or Zoom, you know, Zoom bombing meetings or whatever it's called, it humanizes everyone too, right? And so, you know, we're all living this together. And so that's been a blessing as well. But yeah, I mean, when I do something, I just want to do all of the hard things all at once. It's like ripping off the Band-Aid, right? Like
exactly.
You just gotta do it all at once.
Exactly. So. Okay. So I have to ask you one more personal thing. You've said you have an Insta famous dog, you know, that is worthy of Instagram. Who does wine reviews. Okay, you gotta tell me about that.
So I mean, she's by far the most interesting member of our family. No, I'm kidding.
And what's her name?
Her name is Suki.
Okay.
She is a Shiba Inu, which you may know of from the Doge meme and Dogecoin, and it's the most popular breed of dog in Japan, and they are insanely cute. And she basically looks like a mini fox. she's very photogenic, and she has a diva attitude. So she, so, you know, one of the things that my husband and I do for fun is run her wine review accounts. So she goes by Shiba Sommelier. And
oh my gosh, I gotta check this
wines.
Out.
Yeah, yes, you do. Now that you asked me about it on the air, you need to go
of
check
course.
It out. But she is a foxy little thing that, you know, we photograph with wine bottles and she provides reviews. They're price adjusted. She gives them bones. and it is its own little enterprise.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. I love that. I am definitely going to check that out.
So for your next wine recommendation, go to Shiba Sommelier.
Okay.
At Shiba Sommelier.
All right. Well, and one of the things that we'll do, we always put show notes together. So we'll make sure that we have, we include that. So if listeners are interested in checking that out, we'll make it easy.
They'll be more interested in that than like anything else.
Both. Okay. So one of the things I always ask guests is to name the top three takeaways that you would want our listeners to remember from this episode. So what are they?
Well, so, you know, I want you to know how hard this is. I want everybody to feel my pain of being a digital health entrepreneur. We've said it a few times, healthcare is hard. But I also mentioned that it is also one that is incredibly noble, that's incredibly rewarding. And I think in the time we're living in right now, it's a unique time where a lot of things are accelerating. A lot of change is accelerating in healthcare, often for the good, right? This idea that we now absolutely have to expand access to care, right? And because of all these other obstacles in place, I mean, we've always needed to, but now it's absolutely imperative to. And that has also proven to be a very fertile ground for all these new innovations to come into play, to start up. You know, I get it's a time of uncertainty, but it's also a time of great opportunity, right? And so, especially in this space, you know, I would encourage a lot of people to think about how they can affect change, especially in healthcare that touches human lives, that is so vital to us. But I also do want to remind everyone that it's super hard as well. so that's one. Corollary to that is that another thing I would stress, again, coming from technology, being a technologist by training and putting forth a technology in healthcare, is that one just really important thing that I would want people to recognize if they haven't already, is that healthcare ultimately is human. You know, there are all these cool technologies. They're all, you know, AI, you know, mobile, all kinds of stuff, AR, all kinds of stuff that have been percolating and developing elsewhere. And there's so many cool ways that we can apply that to healthcare, but there needs to be a fundamental understanding and respect that healthcare is human. It is ultimately, it is about, and I think providers, clinicians, doctors, they recognize this more than anybody else, right? Like, yes, they learn all these things. There's a science that they've all learned for years and years and trained on, but ultimately the clinical judgment that they make is a human one. And it's infused with empathy. It's infused with these things that we only recognize as fellow humans, right? And I think respecting that is is critical to be, to kind of reach the next frontier in healthcare where technology has a place. It can never supplant the humanity of that service. So that would be another thing. And then, you know, I would say, and we talked about this as well, really, you know, one of the greatest accomplishments and the thing that keeps me going day in and day out is the team that we've put together. I think that is where the magic lies. With any enterprise, it's not really the idea at the end of the day. Yeah, you need to have a decent one. You need to have some sort of view towards what you're going to do and how viable it is. But that's not what's going to make it. That's, you know, it's who is doing it. And really, it's about being able to, you know, do the right thing, build a great thing with the right people. And I've been very blessed in that so far in this journey with SkinIO. It's one I intend to continue to develop. It is one of my proudest accomplishments, and it's seen us through to this day. So that would be the other thing. You know, do great things with the right people. Like that's we have a short time on this earth and in this life, and that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, that's incredible, and I'm so impressed with you and the work that SkinIO is doing. It's absolutely making an impact, you know, and serving the need of clients and individuals around the company around the country. So, thank you very much for being a guest. This has been fun. I've got to check out some social media sites now, which I will do. But thank you for being a guest.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app or player. We also encourage you to rate this podcast. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.